radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Bregman sends one to left. Back goes Canzone. He will watch this go off the top of the wall. It's gone. Alex Bregman has both home runs for the Astros in this series. That ball carried well to left, hit the top of the wall and went out.
Hello and welcome aboard Gallant and George on a Friday. Friday, got to get down on Friday, May 31st of 2024. I am Paul Gallant. He is Joe George. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass, and the Houston Astros officially started the 2024 regular season yesterday. I know we've done this before, but bear with us. They won 4-0 against the Seattle Mariners, avoided a sweep, thank goodness. Positive juju going into the energy, going into the weekend, yeah. Joe.
Yes?
I think we got to manifest it. I think we got to keep it going. They are 1-0. The season officially started yesterday.
I think we did. I think we did manifest this. We put people on trial yesterday that deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't put Alex Bregman on trial.
We didn't.
We didn't put Alex Bregman on trial before he hit a triple and a home run.
We knew that was
coming. We knew Alex Bregman's Alex Bregman.
Bregman hit
him in a
home
salsa
run on Tuesday. He's got a 3-game hitting streak going since getting moved to 5th in the lineup. I know that Joe Spott is probably going to be tempted to move him back up in the lineup. No,
please
I
don't.
Think things are going well with Alex Bregman in this spot. Lots of positive things to feel good about going into the weekend. Spencer Arrighetti.
Awesome.
Career high 8 strikeouts. 6 scoreless innings. Best start of his career.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the pitching, Joe, it's been pretty good.
I mean, 4 straight quality starts from these guys? Hunter Brown and Arrighetti included?
I'm not going to ruin the vibes by saying that the Mariners couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
Who cares?
Because the Astros pitching, it's back on track. They're 1-0. Now, there's a lot less games left in the season than traditionally when you start the season.
And this is the baseball season that we want.
Correct.
Baseball really probably should start Memorial Day weekend and then just go through October. That would make baseball way better. Less games, more entertaining, more pressure. So the pressure is mounting for the Astros, and the pitching's elite.
The pitching has been good. Non-marquee bullpen arms held it down yesterday. Victor Caratini and Mauricio Dubon played instead of Yiner Diaz and Chaz McCormick. Caratini had a home run. Dubon had a hit. I mean, that's the other positive thing coming out of this one, Joe, is that I feel like perhaps Joe Espada has control to do what is in the best interests of the team in all things that are unrelated to he who must not be named.
Yeah, I think so, too. First of all, there should be no mandate about Yiner Diaz. I know that Dana Brown said before the season that he's our catcher, he's going to be our everyday catcher, but he's struggling. And you should be allowed to take him out of the lineup when you see fit. And this is one of those moments where they did. And if I was Joe Espada, I would have him out of the lineup again today. I would keep in the hot bats right now. Keep it rolling. Dubon over Chaz. Caratini over Yiner. You're stuck with Abreu. It is what it is at this point. But keep the good vibes rolling. And there were good vibes yesterday. They broke the streak.
They did break
they
the streak.
They scored runs in more than one inning yesterday.
Hell yeah, dude.
The simple things right now.
Today,
the small things.
Today is the greatest day of our lives after yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest day of our lives because the Astros are back in the win column. To what you were saying about Yiner Diaz and why I think it's important that Joe Espada looks at what he did yesterday with putting Victor Caratini in there, who has been, surprisingly, a very good pickup for the Astros. A lot better than I expected. I know some on the Twitch are going to pat themselves on the back for it. I will pat you on the back for it. He has been a very welcome addition. But Caratini playing over a guy who has an OPS and Diaz, it's like 636, 646. There are only 26 players in baseball who have a lower OPS. Jose Abreu was sadly one of them among players who have hit enough to be qualified for that. Clearly, he needs to sit back and I think watch things. And while there was an article in The Athletic before yesterday's game, Joe, about how Diaz's defense has improved. I mean, if his defense is improving and his offense is still, I'm going to swing at everything. Mm-hmm. Keep playing Caratini.
Yeah, I think so. And you don't want to make it permanent because you don't want to defeat a young player's confidence. But at least in just the Caratini hit a home run, put him back out there today. If he gets another home run today against the Twins as they return to Houston, cool. Keep him in there. Wait till Caratini gives you a reason, an 0-for-3, an 0-for-4 night, to take him out of the lineup. And just – it also – it helps that one of the positives, too, over this stretch of pitching from the Astros is that pretty much every starter, including Fromber, even though he had the meltdown with Yiner behind the plate, his start before that was very good with Yiner behind the plate. The rotation and the bullpen seem to be having success with no matter who's catching you. The vibes of what were last year, where it was like this team's only good when Maldi's back there, that does seem to have left this team. And that whether it's Caratini or Yiner, things can work. So that's part, another reason why I don't think you have to rush to put Yiner back in the lineup. Figure out what's going on with the swing. Figure out how to try to get him to not press as much and stop swinging at everything that's 3 feet outside the zone. And just like simple down a little bit.
To what you're saying on that front, they've known about this for a while, and it hasn't gotten better. And if the coaches know about this, then Diaz definitely knows about this. And if he's still doing the same thing over and over again, we're not saying send him to West Palm Beach, but if Caratini continues to deliver when put into these spots, he should continue to. A text from the 409, y'all are bipolar as hell. Yes.
That's baseball.
Especially,
you've seen nothing yet
when you're talking about it on the radio. I mean, the thing for us is that if you're someone who's been following this team for a really long time, as said by Shrimpo Dana on the Twitch, I don't think anyone's completely emptied the orange Kool-Aid cup. I don't think anyone has completely done that. We've all had our moments. Whether it was Lance putting the grave on top of the Astros season on yesterday's edition of John and Lance, mm-hmm. or it was us giving the Astros a funeral, mm-hmm. or the Angry Bees giving the Astros a funeral after we gave the Astros a funeral. We've all done it, but I think ultimately we're all doing it hoping for some sort of Marvel-style plot armor to make everything okay again.
Yes.
We're not doing it full-heartedly. It's half-heartedly with wishful thinking behind it.
Yes, it's not fully serious funerals because the season's not dead yet. Your division, even though you lost 3 out of 4, you're still right there. Seattle's not a great baseball team. They're a good baseball team with maybe the best rotation in baseball, to be honest, but they can't hit. And so you're still in the thick of it. You're not really out of the wild card race either. You're 6.5 back still out of the wild card. So like there's still hope. And yeah, I get the Texas point. Like, yeah, it sounds bipolar. It's baseball. It's the summer. It's also just sports. This is how sports works, right? This is the only sport in which you can't be happy after a loss and then a win, and maybe that's going to change this upcoming season, is college football. It's the only sport in which you would lose a game in week 2 and you're like, well, we're done. Like, you're not making the college football playoff. Your season's over. It's not how this works. The Astros, when Fred Fowler put the tombstone in the Chronicle, they were, what, 15 games below 500 when that happened, and they went on an absolute tear? Like, this is not the end of the world still. What most of these shows have been is frustration and anger with a team that's better than – that we think is better.
It's our straight-A student that's smoking weed.
Yeah. Like, it's the nerdy high school kid who goes to college and flops because they've been introduced to alcohol.
Ooh. Well, that's like, a little darker. Are we at the point of where they're flopping entirely and they might be getting kicked out? Or are we at the point where – you've caught him with a doobie in the sock drawer.
The doobie's in the sock drawer. The RA has caught you. Maybe a little like...
Oh, so that means he's on probation.
He's on probation.
I was going to say, they're definitely on probation.
Yeah, they're on probation.
You can't say they're not on probation.
Yeah. Like, it's like you get caught with weed or alcohol in the dorm again, you're getting kicked out of campus like your first semester at Texas. Okay? Like, that's where we're at here.
We, my freshman year, got caught because of clinking that our RA heard. He didn't even go inside to confirm. We were all written up. Our rights were violated.
Mm.
But we did get to go make $75 as part of a study about alcoholism.
Okay.
So that was nice. $75 of beer money. That's where the money went directly to.
Now, see, now, we never got caught when I was in college. I had an adjoining room. We had it was me and my roommate. We shared a bathroom, and then there was two guys on the other side. So if we ever got caught drinking, we would just play this game of chase, basically. The alcohol would go from one room to the other room.
Okay.
And the RA would come into the room. They'd be like, it smells like alcohol. And we'd be like, hey, search us.
It smells like alcohol.
I'd be like, we'd be like, but there's no alcohol.
Is this a bloodhound?
We would just say we would, you know, we were dumb kids. We would drink stuff that smells.
Yeah, there's probably red. 35 yeah. Natty Lights yeah. that were opened in
yeah.
that room.
Yeah, smearing off red out of a bottle.
Probably
Natty
all
light.
Over their shirt.
Yeah, like we would just be like, oh, no, we were drinking off campus illegally, not in the dorm. And then we would just hide the alcohol and run in circles till they found us. Which
confess to a lesser crime.
Yes. Yeah.
Getting the cans out is difficult. It's sort of like in Shawshank Redemption, where Andy Dufresne is gradually, as he's digging out of the prison, putting it in his pockets. You can't really do that with a can. You can't put beer cans in your pockets. You have to have a very sneaky moment where you put all the cans in a garbage bag.
And just throw them across the bathroom into the other room.
Yeah.
And on top of that, too, I mean, you know, you guys, does Chicago recycle?
I think they're supposed to.
Okay. But. I know Texas doesn't, so that's a nice little benefit here. But at Syracuse, we had like a recycling bin.
Then why do I have a recycling can for my trash? Why do I have a garbage it's and so recycling?
It looks cool.
It's so you think you're recycling. Yeah. I don't think that they actually recycle.
Guys, I'm going to be honest. I didn't know that.
The stuff that goes in the blue container.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't aware of that. Then what am I doing every Wednesday when it's a recycling day? Just like wasting time. Just
you might be.
I have two trash cans now.
I mean, okay, it's the only day they'll pick it up. So
that's
you still
a good point.
Pull
yeah,
it out.
That's a good point.
They don't do it on the same day.
Oh no, we do. It's we do trash and recycling on one day, just trash the other day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He is Joe George. Sean Mapes behind the glass. ESPN Houston on YouTube. Stephen Hill comments 5.5 back in May. Meh. They'll be fun. You can join us on Twitch as well, or by calling, texting 713-780-3776. The positive vibes, we're manifesting them. We get it. I mean, there's several games under 500. That series was rather disappointing. They lost 3 of 4. They're 5.5 back of the Seattle Mariners in the AL West. Real question we have, what can the Astros do to get you back to buying into them as a contender for this season? We will try to answer that for ourselves on the other side. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
Caratini leading things off here in the fifth inning, and he goes after the first pitch and sails one deep to right field. Back goes the right fielder, Haniger. It's gone. Victor Caratini hits his third home run of the year, and the Astros now in front 3-0. All the home runs for Caratini have been as a left-hand hitter.
Oh, a little Caratini in the afternoon is nice.
Blummer. You
That's
dog.
A good one, Blummer. That's a good one, Plumber.
Especially on a Friday. I mean, listen, the weekend, it's hours away for some of us.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're having a little lunch action.
Mm.
Margarita.
Should we have been doing that today?
Martini. I mean, we could at some point.
Yeah. There's a bar downstairs now.
There is.
We just go by. Can we get to go? Do we know?
Probably not.
Can we go down there like, hey, can we get 3 espresso martinis to go?
That would be good.
Put a little lid on them.
Yeah. I mean, they did it during the pandemic.
You know,
they let people take to-go drinks.
It would look like an iced coffee. So there's that. We were talking in the last segment about Victor Caratini. I think we both believe he should probably play as much as Yiner Diaz at the very least, if not outright more than him. Interesting twitch that might be sarcastic from one of our favorites, Shrimp Boat Dana. Trade Yiner, lots of value at the catcher position. I mean, speaking of that texter that called us bipolar with how we react to Astros wins and Astros losses, I don't know if we could be quite that flip-floppy with Diaz, who did have a really awesome year last year.
Yeah, for sure.
I think to what you said yesterday, Joe, like with Jeremy Pena, very likely this is a sophomore slump and a I'm playing every single day kind of slump.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you want to criticize the Astros organization, there is a catcher who's hitting .274 right now in Major League Baseball. And he only has 5 home runs. He only has 12 RBIs because he plays for the White Sox.
Oh, no. Who are you about to say?
Corey Lee.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. I didn't know he was playing that much for the White Sox.
Yeah, because, well, they're doing that. See, in Chicago, my friends in Chicago Sports Radio, they're dealing with now what we dealt with last year, where they're like, why the hell is this Martin Maldonado clown playing in front of Corey Lee? And I'm like, oh, this conversation feels like home to me. You know, it's like,
Did you tell them about mound visits and pitch calling? And
yeah, it's worked out great for them so far.
Having five iPads open at once on
the plane. Well, hang on. They're holding Maldonado back, much like Bill Belichick was held back his last 5 years by the roster around him that he created. Martin Maldonado's just being held back by the roster around him in Chicago.
Or maybe Martin Maldonado's the key. Martin Maldonado is in Houston. Yainer Diaz, awesome. Martin Maldonado, he's on the White Sox. Corey Lee, pretty good. Maybe there is a little correlation here. He's teaching him how to hit, I guess, because, you know, Corey Lee's, you know, smashing it. But Yainer will be fine. It is perfectly, as the Twitch says, it is perfectly okay to say that Victor Caratini is the better catcher right now and should be playing more right now. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with making it clear that Mauricio Dubon is better than Chaz McCormick. I mean, it's the same with Loperfido and Singleton at first base, and they just won't listen to us. But they should be playing the best players right now. This season shouldn't be about getting people right, because you want to be orange Kool-Aid half full. You need the best players to play.
And guess what? The more that you play your best players and get results like you did yesterday, I feel like at some point, Jim Crane and Jeff Bagwell and whoever else might be giving directives from the top down, there's going to come a point where they can't just continue to put someone like a Jose Abreu out there. I thought Ari Alexander, who works for KPRC, and I think as far as the anchors at TV stations in town who haven't played, I think he's one of the best when it comes to baseball insight. He put together basically a couple of videos just showing that, like, hey, man, nothing's really changed with Jose Abreu. Mm-hmm. And also something that we saw earlier that we're going to talk about in more detail at 1 o'clock. But, I mean, Joey Loperfido made a great play at first base yesterday for the Sugar Land Space Cowboys. That tweet has been deleted, interestingly enough, of the highlight, which is, I think, very telling about how sensitive things are for the Astros when it comes to Jose Abreu. But as you said, sometimes it's as simple as just play your best players. And guess what? You get results like yesterday against a pitching team in Seattle who's really good. I mean, Logan Gilbert's good. He's not George Kirby good, but he's good. So I'm hoping that more moments like this make the Astros see, like, look, it's embarrassing, but take your L and move on. That happens in life, you know? We're talking about drinking stories and stuff. Sometimes you've had too much. The next day, you still got to wake up. You're going to be sad and embarrassed about what potentially had happened that you might not even have known about. No.
At some point, you have to remove your pride, mm-hmm. whoever it is.
Yeah.
Whether it's the players on the team, Joe Espada, Dana Brown, Jeff Bagwell, Jim Crane, you have to remove your pride from a situation. Like, if you're going to turn this around, and that to me is one of the keys to how they're going to do it, is they have to find a way to leave their pride behind. Mm-hmm. As an organization, they have to find a way. And I think it starts now and it goes through the end of the season. And I'm going to include guys like Lance McCullers in this conversation. Lance McCullers, leave your pride behind. If this team views you as best suited to help them in the bullpen because Arrigetti and Hunter Brown have turned a corner and are going to continue to pitch this way, because at least Arrigetti looks like he is. Hunter Brown's got two
they've been pitching better starts.
If you're best suited to be a bullpen pitcher when you come back in August or late July, whatever it is, then that's the role you have to be on this team. Same with Abreu, same with all these guys. Like, if you want to win a World Series or get back to an eighth straight ALCS, your ego needs to be left behind.
I think your point about McCullers is an interesting one. I think McCullers actually would be open to it, and I based that off of him liking that, I think, answer from Keith Law that was actually on the Killer Bees not that long ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Where I think so, yeah.
They asked him about him coming out of the bullpen. We've seen him coming out of the bullpen before. It actually was very effective. Game 7 of the 2017 ALCS. It was a really long time ago. Mike from League City is offering us a Caratini Martini at a establishment that he may work at. I'm curious as to what a Caratini Martini would be. My dad's Coug girlfriend of a long time is obsessed with all sorts of different martinis, like key lime martinis, which is weird. I would imagine it would have to be A Caratini martini, I feel like since he's from Puerto Rico, yeah. it would have to be something that's rum-based. But, Mike, I'm sorry, as a proud, proud patron of the Highway Cantina, the greatest restaurant in Houston, I'm sorry, I cannot promote your business. I cannot promote your business. But shout out to you, and I will take that in mind at some point if I'm ever downtown.
Yeah, next time he hits a home run, we're coming.
We'll to get a Caratini martini?
Yeah.
The other question that we asked going into this segment, what can the Astros do to get back to you buying into them as a contender for the rest of the year? Joe and I were kind of outlining that if the Astros play their best players, I think we're all going to feel a lot better about it, even with all the injuries that they are dealing with. But some texters are talking about different ways that they would get back into buying in. From the 832, for me to buy back into the Astros, Jim Crane would have to do an Aztec fertility ritual on home plate. You know which one I'm referring to, Paul and Sean. I actually don't remember off the top of my head, Sean. Do you remember this? This might be something that, Joe, we talked about on the Paul Gallant show back in the day.
It was something gnarly. I do remember roughly talking about Aztec rituals. I don't know how.
They're
I don't know how
bloody.
It came up.
They're all violent.
Yeah. I don't remember specifically the fertility one.
Skin flayed and priests wore their skin.
Oh.
So there's that. Anyway, classic the Aztecs. Am I right? What rascals?
Also, classic Paul Gallant show where that came up.
Hey,
probably talked about it for 10 minutes.
And then I like the serious part of the text, and it just says the Astros could also just DFA Jose Abreu and trade Ryan Presley. Mm-hmm. So you could do the Aztec fertility ritual,
mm-hmm.
Or you could do something reasonable.
So that's one of it.
They're both reasonable.
I don't know. Piercing your you-know-what while on mushrooms in addition to the flaying and wearing the skin from Hewing Spring, he clarifies. Yeah, I don't know that Jim Crane should be doing that. Personally.
Yeah, I also don't know if it makes me believe in the Astros.
I think they need to be mathematically eliminated and then maybe do that before opening day 2025
mm-hmm.
to, you know, wipe the slate clean.
It's more like forget 2024. This is how we move into
new start. Here's my skin flayed.
Dubon's your third baseman. Bregman's gone. You know, here is also what we're gonna throw this in.
Lopito's playing first.
Yeah, cherry on top, skin flayed.
It's like the Boltons. My
2025, here we go.
So, look, we trust the Astros a little bit less. I wanted to bring this story up really quickly, guys, since, you know, it's a Friday, got to get down on Friday. Do you still trust Bucky's bathrooms?
I saw this.
So, for those who don't know, this story official yesterday, but it's something that we've known about for a while. Mitchell Wasick, who is the son of a Bucky's co-founder, was indicted May 17th after being accused of invasive visual recordings of visitors at his family's lake house and residence last year. It does make you wonder if the Bucky's bathroom, which is the GOAT bathroom, especially if you're on a road trip, it's the cleanest one, it's the nicest one. I do wonder about those bathrooms now. I'm not going to lie.
Here's the thing.
Bucky's bathrooms used to be more trustworthy than the Houston Astros. Now they're less trustworthy than the Houston Astros.
Does the good outweigh the bad? Okay, you've got everything you need at Bucky's. Is there some risk there now using some of the bathrooms? Maybe.
Let's do the math. How clean it is, yes. Yeah. How nice it is. How many stalls there are.
Yeah, it's like which way do the scales tip?
How many cameras does this guy have?
Yeah.
What are the chances it's actually mine? Also, what's he going to do with it?
Yeah.
What do I care?
I would not like a video of me on the internet, dropping the kids off.
I also wouldn't.
I wouldn't like it, but it's not the end of the world.
It could be. It,
also, look, what's the benefit for him?
I mean, look, Paul, and like as we're trying to build
I took a poop one time halfway between here and Austin. Whoa.
Yeah, like if you're worried about something, I have more questions about what you're doing inside the Bucky's bathroom of like what you're really concerned about.
Why are there rolled up $1 bills all
over the
place?
Because just to be truthful, like it's not in our bathroom if like just to be honest. We know where it's at. It doesn't really affect us here. But also, you know,
chances are it's not in the men's room.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, if it happens to be and you're dropping the kids off and it's an embarrassing moment, isn't the, you know, as we're trying to build a show here, any PR is good PR.
You know
PR.
What? Fair point. Fair
it's
point.
It's like, you know, Paul Gallant misses the toilet. You know.
Well, hang
video,
on.
Video goes viral.
I'm not standing on it like some people do.
Host of Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5. Like, yeah. You know, people might find us for the first
Yeah, you
time.
Know what? You're actually right, Joe. If there's a meme of my strained face that goes on the internet after this Bucky's person who may have put cameras in more than just lake houses, yeah. Puts it on the internet. Okay. I suppose it wouldn't be that bad.
I also think you mentioned video of your strained face. Something tells me he wasn't recording the faces.
Good point.
Good point.
I'd imagine that's not where the camera is.
Yeah.
Good point. That's not the interesting
now, part. Are you worried that, you know, if this were to happen, it's more to affect your dating life? Is that what you're more concerned about
probably,
here?
Yeah, yeah.
I understand
yeah,
that.
Yeah. You gotta get back out there, you know?
Yeah.
But you never know who
not,
you'll find.
Not you at your best.
I mean, but maybe you'll find someone like, hey, like that's happened to me too.
Oh, you know, like, yeah.
Mute commonality between you and
me too. I too was.
Yeah. Between video. You and the next LinkedIn girl.
There's no more LinkedIn girls.
No.
Again. No, I think that was a one-time thing. The fact that she responded seems like it was an absolute miracle as it was. He is Joe George, Sean Mapes behind the glass, Gallant and George on a Friday, got to get down on Friday. You want to weigh in on what it would take for the Houston Astros to get you to buy back into them as a contender the rest of the year? You can at 713-780-3776 to call or to text at ESPN Houston on YouTube or on our Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Coming up next, we're going to keep these positive Friday vibes going because guess what? The growing belief in C.J. Stroud is becoming a religious revolution. The latest example next. Stick around.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We asked the question today, Gallant and George on a Friday, about what it will take for you to buy back into the Houston Astros as a contender. And it does feel like playing Victor Caratini over Yiner Diaz is gaining traction. One text. This one has to do with us talking about the Caratini Martini, Joe. Mm. Caratini Martini is what you give Yiner Diaz when he's sitting on the bench watching others excel in his position. No, that's mean.
Extra
but,
dirty.
Hey, if you're extra dirty, damn. That's the way I like it.
Oh, porn, you like the olives?
Porn star dirty.
Mm, not for me.
There's this fantastic restaurant that is extremely flamboyant, but really good food and really good price. They just hit on me nonstop, which I actually kind of like.
Yeah.
It's called Rivas. Love okay. Rivas. And I remember one time ordering a martini there. I said, could I get a dirty martini? And Randy, who's one of the guys who works there, says, oh, you want a porn star dirty martini? I started dying. So that's what I call it now, porn star dirty.
I think my
dirty.
Favorite part of what I'm learning about Paul is that how many of like the bartenders' names you know? At the places you go.
You go to the same places enough. I mean, you
like, you want like, to like you. You want to feel like a local celebrity?
I'm
go
not
to,
a local
go
celebrity.
To Nick's place with Granado or go to Highway Cantina with Paul. And everyone knows him there. Everyone's like, oh, hey, Paul.
No,
what's
one,
up, man?
No one does that. They do that with Granado.
No, they do.
They do not do that with him.
The bartenders know you at Highway Cantina.
They do know me at Highway Cantina. That is for sure. Shout out to Gray behind the bars. Also... a text about Victor Caratini from the 713. Caratini just proves how bad our catching was last year. And we got so hung up on Diaz playing, we can't realize some other catcher we bring in can be even better. Did we commit to Diaz or the best man for the job?
They committed to Diaz because he should be the best man for the job. He hit .282 last year with 23 home runs in 104 games. Okay, he had an incredible first season. He finished, fifth in Rookie of the Year? He is the everyday catcher for the foreseeable future, just maybe not for the next week while he's struggling.
Mm-hmm.
He's struggling.
He's struggling.
It's just it is what it is. He's going to get back on track. He showed it last year. He can mash left and right. Now, to the Texas point, like they signed, we mentioned this yesterday, they have the 13th highest paid catcher in all of baseball on their roster with Victor Caratini. He only makes $6 million, but that's what the middle of the road is. So mm-hmm. You have two guys And Diaz will be the primary catcher. Diaz will probably be in the lineup tonight. Like, as much as we want Caratini, it'll probably be Diaz tonight.
If Peña can get back on track, Diaz can get back on track. We'll see what happens when the lineup for this series against the Twins, game one tonight with Ronel Blanco on the hill for Houston. We'll see if he's in the lineup. We'll also see if Jose Abreu is in the lineup, because I think the best part about yesterday is that we saw Victor Caratini and Mauricio Dubon, who should be playing more than Yiner Diaz and Chaz McCormick things go right now. Okay, we're keeping the positive vibes going, guys.
Let's go.
Astros are 1-0. The season officially started yesterday. We're going to try to manifest a comeback and a victory in the AL West, which is not completely out of reach, but we're going to give you a little more things to get excited about. It's time for a Houston Texans Deep Steel Blue Pill.
Little blue pills can take 30 minutes to get you ready for excitement.
So that's why we're giving you a big, deep, steel blue pill.
You take the blue pill, believe whatever you want.
Get it up for the Texans and take this deep, steel blue pill.
And by the way, she'll like it too.
Texans swarm!
Del hates that we do that. Sorry you're not on the bandwagon, Del. Yeah.
Come on, Del. Yell
he said he doesn't hate it. He just doesn't want to be a part of it.
Let a little Clay Walker into your life, okay? Drive your life smooth, mother bleeper, okay? We all need a little bit of that. I'm sure Del said something very funny but mean at the same time.
He just muttered, drive me smooth, and then turned to leave.
He's going to drive smooth.
He's about to drive smooth all the way back home.
Maybe he'll get a Galveston Bay martini when he gets home, which is another great way to describe a dirty martini. Joe Mixon is the new running back for your Houston Texans. Yesterday was their week two OTA availability.
Let's go.
Interesting that Stephon Diggs has still yet to speak as a member of the Houston Texans.
Oh, yeah.
We did hear, though, from Joe Mixon, and he had this to say about Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud.
By C.J. being, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, bro, it's a hell of a thing. I don't know if he even knows it yet, but... he has all the right tools. He have all the right traits for him to be actually the best in the league. And I think that the way that he prepares and the way that he leads and the way that he works, I truly feel like, it's definitely something special in the making.
Doesn't even know it yet.
Do you buy that?
Oh, no. The one thing we learned this offseason is C.J. Stroud loves C.J. Stroud.
Interesting. Expand.
I mean, he's going on like Ryan Clark and all these different podcasts around the Super Bowl time. He's on what's the linebacker with the dreads? He's on that podcast.
Channing Crowder.
That's what I'm looking for. Like when CJ talks about CJ, he loves himself. He knows how good he is. Look the way he's interacted with Micah Parsons. CJ's feeling good about CJ Stroud right now.
He'll talk smack on his own behalf. Yeah. He's his own. He'll support himself.
I mean, and it's not even always about football. Like, think back to like the Micah Parsons, CJ Stroud NBA conversation. The way CJ talks up his basketball game. Like, CJ likes to hype himself up. He should.
Do you think that confidence and loving yourself are the same thing? C.J. Stroud, loving him some C.J. Stroud is the same thing as just being a confident guy. Because I tend to believe the man is just extremely confident. I don't know if he's like I'm C.J. Stroud. That to me, and this is just me, that to me is more like somebody who perhaps isolates himself from everybody else.
Yeah.
Like what it seems like from now. Again, we'll see what happens in the NFL. But like how Caleb Williams seems. Like how Russell Wilson seems.
Yeah, it's not like that. Like, it's not like Russell Wilson's a really good example of what you never want your quarterback to be. Like an egotistical maniac who thinks he's above the world. I don't think CJ Stroud is going to be demanding his own office and quarterback trainers in the building like Russell Wilson did in Denver. Like, that's not the speed. He's confident in his ability.
Yeah,
he's not afraid to talk about it.
And Wilson also has the inauthentic nature of himself, where he's like, he knows what he is trying to do in every conversation. Like, he knows what he's trying to project in every conversation. Where C.J. Stroud, it just seems like, C.J. Stroud's
he's just being him.
Very, very, I mean, there's a reason he was the good guy of the year.
The good guy of the year because of the way he talks to the media. But I think Aaron Rodgers loves himself. To what you were saying about Russell Wilson, I don't know if you saw the story yesterday. Russell Wilson was asked about the quarterback competition with Justin Fields.
No.
And about Justin Fields being used in the offense. If I was Justin Fields and I heard Russell Wilson say, yeah, we could maybe use Justin Fields as a weapon in our offense. You know, I think he's one of the most elite athletes in the NFL. If I heard Russell Wilson say that about me and knowing just who Russell Wilson is as someone who covered him in Seattle, I would be so mad because it's like a pat on the head.
Justin's there. Justin asked to get traded to Pittsburgh for a reason because he fully believes he can beat out Russell Wilson.
How is Percy Harvin the only one who ever tried to fight Russell Wilson? Was it Percy Harvin or Golden Tate? I forgot.
I think it was Golden Tate.
I think it was Golden Tate.
And, like, that's very uncharacteristic of Golden Tate.
It was Golden Tate trying to fight... Excuse me. Percy Harvin fought Golden Tate. Harvin never fought Russell Wilson.
Oh, okay.
But Golden Tate and Russell Wilson had beef over something that Russell Wilson... I can't really share the details because I don't know all the specifics like the back of my hand. But from what I understand, Russell Wilson should have had Golden Tate's back in a moment where he chose to look the other way so that it would make Russell Wilson look better. Yeah. It's not a great story.
How have more people not try to fight Russell Wilson?
Dude, it seems like that Seahawks team, which is incredible how successful they were, it seems like just about every single player on that team wanted a piece of him, specifically Richard Sherman, but others as well.
Yeah,
the
way
the whole defense talked about him after they left.
And, like, very soon afterward, it was like 2016, 2017 is where it just started, where everyone was just, like, dumping on Russell Wilson, where at first you're kind of like, all right, guys, like, this seems a bit much. He's a pretty good quarterback. And then the more we find out about his personality, it's like, actually, I'm kind of with the Legion of Boom guys.
Yeah, he's a weird dude. Weird dude. I'm glad. I hope Russell Wilson loses that job. I'll be honest. I hate how he's so phony. Like, I would rather have... Okay, if CJ Stroud's not here, and you're telling me I have two options. Aaron Rodgers, who's just, like, drama queen, and then says, why is everyone talking about my drama? Or have Russell Wilson, the fraud? I'd rather have Aaron Rodgers be the quarterback every day of my life.
I feel like, though... I mean, we'll see if Aaron Rodgers even plays this year with the ankle thing that he was dealing
blister.
With yesterday at
it's
practice.
A blister.
He is limping. I don't care how.
Ever had a blister before?
Yeah.
Hasn't made me limp. But I think with Russ, I feel like I have soured everybody in this room on Russell Wilson just based off of having covered him in Seattle.
No, I was down on Russ before we met.
Okay.
Yeah. For me, it was the Dan Patrick interview after the Super Bowl. Where the Monday after the Super Bowl, he goes on Dan Patrick, and Russell Wilson's always calculated, and then he just buried the offensive line in a way that I didn't think was possible from him.
This honestly hurt me the most in Seattle. I was very quick to turn on Russ and started with that interview, and people were like, you're crazy. How do you not like him? And I was like, because he says just outlandish stuff that if you actually, you know, look at and break down... It's crazy. But anyway, I don't want to bore people with too much Seattle talk. I'll just say that I'm glad he is not our problem.
Fact.
We got CJ Stroud, baby. Swallow that deep steel blue pill. Tyler in Conroe says, as a former Paul hater, the deep steel blue pill has me rocked up.
Love it.
Appreciate that, Tyler.
Didn't have to include the first part, but okay.
I know. But hey, listen. it feels good to convert people.
Hey, I normally hate your show, but hey, I like this one.
Sometimes it happens, okay? There's a lot of people who used to really like me. Now I see the text on the Killer Bees. Seems not so much.
That's because of the way that the Killer Bees
betray
you.
They poisoned the well. They
agree. I agree.
They poisoned it more than I have on Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I totally agree. They have poisoned the well. But you know, it happens. We bring people around.
Larry inside Stafford asks, would you rather see dinosaurs or dragons?
Ooh. Dinosaurs. The question is, like, which one can I more likely not get killed by?
Dinosaurs. Dragons would destroy buildings. Dinosaurs.
I was thinking of, like, could you just see it? Like,
from a distance.
Yeah. It's, like, safely.
Dragons have rock hard scales, and we would not be able to shoot them down. Where dinosaurs, they are lizards, and we would be able to kill them.
Yeah.
I was going to say, but that's why I'm choosing dragons.
I don't want to see dragons.
Yeah, they're just big lizards. The dinosaurs are big lizards.
Dragons are... Oh, you're saying that you would rather see...
I've seen dinosaurs. I've seen a crocodile. That's basically a dinosaur. give me something new.
I mean, which one's worse? Would you rather be in a Jurassic Park situation, or would you rather be in King's Landing?
Jurassic Park, 1,000%.
Yeah. So dinosaurs, for sure. Rather see dinosaurs.
No, no, but you're taking this as, like, you're stuck in a room. With, I viewed it as, would you rather, like, observe?
Okay, but if you observe them, there's a chance that you're either going to be in Jurassic Park
safely
or in King's Landing.
Okay, whatever. You're you know what? You're coaching scared right now.
I am.
I want to give me a dragon. I want to see something new.
You're crazy, Sean.
We're literally like 2 weeks away, like 13 days away from watching a dragon.
Yeah. House of the Dragon. Yeah, yeah. They're not House of the Dinosaurs. It'd be boring.
Not
dragons
five.
Are more entertaining.
Is Joe Jr. in dinosaur phase yet?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's the first.
They come
phase.
Everywhere.
He is Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes behind the glass. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I've got a question about the NBA Finals. And it harkens back to, honestly, one of the worst things that I saw during the Astros and Rangers ALCS. What happened afterwards last year? I'll explain what I'm talking about next. Don't go anywhere.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
The Astros won yesterday. They are going to play the Minnesota Twins, 3-game set against a similarly team that last year was in the playoffs but is looking up at other teams in the division. The difference is that the Twins are at 500 and they're looking up at the Royals and the Guardians, who are off to a crazy start, where the Astros are looking up at the sub-500 Rangers, the defending world champs, and the Seattle Mariners. The NBA Finals are set. It's my Boston Celtics against the Dallas Mavericks. I'll be honest, Joe, the idea of Kyrie Irving beating my favorite team, having played for them, is something that terrifies me a little bit.
These storylines are juicy. You got Kristaps and Luka, who were just teammates.
Correct.
And then Kyrie was in Boston. So now it sounds like Porzingis is going to play. So you have that there. Jason Kidd has the opportunity to be the first person ever to win an NBA Finals as a player and a coach.
Ugh.
Or I know the most recent person to do it, because I guess like Phil did it too, right?
Yeah, Phil Jackson did it.
Yeah, Phil Jackson.
He's
did
doing it.
It
on the same team.
Oh, right. That's what it is. Yeah, he'll be the first to do it on the same team. So, like, there's a lot of good storylines here, just in general. Like, Kyrie versus Boston is it.
I would say this, too. As a Celtics fan growing up, I hated Jason Kidd on the New Jersey Nets because they would always be the team that stopped the Celtics in the early 2000s, the Paul Pierce, Antoine Walker era. So, added dynamic of disdain for the Mavericks. But I got to say, love Luka. Luka last night.
Sorry not to.
Holy crap. I mean, that game was over, basically, at the end of the first quarter with how hot Luka was from outside, and the discrepancy between Luka bombing it and Rudy Gobert getting the ball in the lane and either missing bunnies or throwing it right back outside the lane. Like, I get why the entire NBA hates Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, that's why people don't respect him. It's like, you look at what he does, and what he's good at is being tall, and it's like, that's kind of how people view it, is that he can't play offense and he's tall.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's like, Kyrie is, he's probably one of the most talented players we've ever seen walk into the NBA.
Definitely just a ball handler.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just like not, he's not the best, but just from like pure basketball skill, he's absolutely incredible. And to see what's going on with him, like his story from the time it was to leave Cleveland to where he is now, has been fascinating. And this is setting up to be like a great NBA Finals. It has the star power. You've got Jason Tatum and Luka. Two guys, like, just, and then you have Doncic.
I saw today the, like, the who has the better duo conversation, because ooh, it's Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and it's Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving.
And we have 6 days until the game starts.
The Mavericks have the better duo. The Celtics have the better team. I think that's the difference.
I love Jaylen Brown, though, and what he did in the conference finals.
I love him, too, but, I mean, we're talking about two guys that have at one point been considered, like, top three NBA players. And I think, honestly, with Jason Tatum, no one's doing that even now.
And I think Brown's probably a little bit better than Irving. And then,
at this phase of his career.
Yeah, yeah. And then Luka is considerably better, is like easily better. He's not like way better. It's like I feel solidly that he is better than Tatum. And to me, who your best player is just more important than who your second best player is.
Here's my big problem with this series, though, guys. And it has to do with the way that people rooted for the Texas Rangers after the ALCS taking down the Astros here in Houston.
How some people.
Because it was a lot of people, though. It was a lot more than you expected. I would say the percentage of people that were doing that was like maybe like 15 to 20% of people that pay attention to sports. I'm going to root for Texas in the World Series.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be some people that root for the Dallas Mavericks in the NBA Finals entirely because Dallas is in Texas.
You can't. You can't.
It's weird.
We are on the cusp of Dallas becoming the city of champions. People need to understand that.
The Stars, what's the deal in hockey right now?
It's 2-2. They play tonight to go up three, to try to go up 3-2 against the Oilers.
Decisive Western Conference Finals.
Win the Western Conference Finals. So they're still a little bit away. The Stanley Cup Championship, the final series, doesn't start till the 8th, so 2 days after the NBA Finals. But the Stars are right there. They're a good team. They're the favorites to win tonight's game, at least. So the Stars have a chance to go to the finals. The Mavs are in the finals. The Rangers just won the World Series.
Yep.
You can't.
Cowboys are good.
You can't root for Texas.
Okay. That's enough. That's enough from the Cowboys.
You can't do it. You're not allowed to.
It's
veto.
I understand state pride. If you've lived here forever, Texas forever.
No.
But you're allowed to have rivalries within your state. It doesn't have to be Texas forever for everything. Because how many people like the San Antonio Spurs? Would you like a team from San Antonio? Probably not. How many people like the Dallas Cowboys? And maybe it's because the Rockets and the Mavericks never played against one another that I'm or never in something that was a seriously consequential kind
of
series.
I don't think they've played outside the first round in like 25 years.
Right. I mean, the last time, what was it? Was it 15?
2015, it was a 2-7
where Rondo
matchup.
Quit. Right. Yeah, exactly. So I'm hoping that people aren't going to behave the same way that they did after the ALCS, where some people were rooting for the Texas Rangers in the World Series.
If you are, this show is not for you, because we are Team Boston.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Hand up.
Bro.
I'm rooting against Paul. I'm not rooting for the Mavs. I'm rooting against... Because I know...
Okay, I
know how Paul
is. I understand that.
I know how Paul is after championships. We've all seen it. After the Astros. After the longtime listeners. Very long time at this point. Listeners will know what he's like after Patriots, Super Bowls. Again, so long ago.
This is a blood championship. You're right.
This is one where I just have so much fun saying that... Yeah, because he brings up Celtics, all the championships. I'm like, one in the last 40 years.
Shut up. I get it. Yeah.
I don't want to have to update that to two in the last 40 years.
But is it better to have two in the last 40 years or two Dallas championships in the last 365 days?
I have to talk to Paul for 3 hours, 5 days a week.
I understand, but I'll try to rein him in a little bit.
I can ignore the Dallas people.
All you have to do is bring up the fact that the Patriots are ass, okay? I mean,
that shut me up.
Every time, just go with Drake May. Jones.
Well, Mac Jones. See, Drake May, I can pretend.
They fired Bill Belichick.
I'm excited about.
Just Drake, every time Drake he says May, something, too early to tell.
Yeah. Let's every time they say something about, he says something positive about the Celtics, just say, the Patriots fired Bill Belichick.
I don't think there's any good answers here.
Tom Brady's a soft boy.
I don't think there's any good answers. Okay. That helps. I'm still not sure. I think, you know what? Unbiased media member. That's how I'm going to watch this. Just looking at the storylines, looking at the moments, and then rolling my eyes every time Paul brings up something.
Come on. I am very, with this team, I am very fair. I honestly don't expect them to win this series. I don't. I'm rooting for them. But I feel like this is going to be a very tough one. This is not fake modesty. This is not fake being humble.
6.5-point favorites for game one.
And honestly, I don't even know if I want y'all rooting for the Celtics after what he just said about Tom Brady. I don't know if I want that.
The odds of the Vegas does not like Dallas. They were 5.5-point underdogs. The only time, even Minnesota was only like +1.5, +2 in the games in Dallas. Vegas does not like Dallas. I've said all that. I'm taking Dallas.
Lot of texters are saying, I hate everything Boston, and I'm going to stick with hating everything Boston. But another person is saying that since Dallas fans have become insufferable over time, even though Boston fans are the worst. And look, we are. I'll admit it.
It was also easy.
Self-aware.
It was easier for people to root for the Mavericks the last time they're in the finals because they're playing the Miami Heat.
Yes.
And so this is the first time that we've actually had to reckon with this.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they're playing Boston.
Don't root for Dallas unless you have a legitimate reason to do so. That's all I'm asking.
Unbiased. I'm unbiased.
Gallant and George. That's Sean Mapes behind the glass. He is Joe George to my right. I am merely Paul Gallant. Up next, I think a conspiracy is in the works in the Houston Astros organization. You will find out what it is next, and it's going to make your blood boil. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.